Welcome to ASME TechCast, where we bring you the innovators, the innovations, and the topics that push the envelope of engineering. There has been an increasing effort across the US to boost the number of female students to pursue STEM careers. Industries are ramping up their efforts to increase diversity across the engineering profession. Each year, ASME's Kate Gleason Award, named after the first woman member of the society, recognizes women entrepreneurs who make a significant contribution to the engineering community. The 2020 Kate Gleason Award was given to Lisa Burden O'Toole, the vice president of Hearst Lab. Lisa earned her master's and PhD in mechanical engineering at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. In her current role at Hearst Lab, she evaluates and invests in women-led startups in media, data, and technology. As passionate as she is about promoting entrepreneurship among technically minded women, Lisa is equally driven to nurture young engineers. We will be speaking with Lisa today about how to make engineering a lucrative career path for women and the role mentoring plays in it. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm honored to be here with you.
When did you first become interested in engineering? And was there a moment where you knew you were going to be a mechanical engineer?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, for me, deciding on mechanical engineering, I think was actually the opposite of a moment and more like a slow progression over about 18 and a half years. So as a kid, I think like a lot of engineers, I always loved construction toys like Legos, Lincoln Logs, and simple mechanical gadgets. You know, I was the kid that asked for a coin sorter and a label maker as Christmas gifts. But it took me a long time to realize that the name for what I liked, what all of these things had in common, was engineering. And, you know, I didn't know any engineers growing up, but I think my dad is somewhat of an honorary engineer, right? He's one of these people who can make anything out of wire hangers and duct tape. You know, he can listen to an engine and know what's wrong with it. He taught my sister and I how to fix a car battery with a can of Coke. I love this kind of stuff. And then in school, I always loved math and science, especially physics. And so all of the adults that I was around growing up encouraged me to pursue engineering. But whenever I would ask them what it meant to be an engineer, they always answered something around bridges and cars. And I knew that I wasn't super passionate about either one of those things. So I thought, I don't think engineering is a good fit for me. So I started off in undergrad at Duke as a math major. I liked math. I knew math. I understood what it was, right? That felt comfortable. But alongside starting in math, I also took some engineering classes. And whenever I started in these classes, it was sort of like a light bulb went off. I finally understood what everyone had been trying to tell me, that engineering, and especially mechanical engineering, was what I liked most about math mixed with what I loved most about physics.
So you began your entrepreneurial career first as a data scientist at an early stage startup, then as leader and architect of a data science team at another startup. Then you co-founded your company, which led you to Hearst Lab, an incubator for technology-based women-led startups. Can you tell me more about the decision to focus on investing in women-led startups?
Yes, absolutely. So first and foremost, we invest in women-led startups because it's a great market opportunity. The research that shows diverse leadership teams outperform their counterparts is actually pretty overwhelming. So for example, women-led teams actually see 2.5 times higher returns compared to male-led teams. We also see that companies with women on their founding teams are likely to exit about a year faster compared to the rest of the market. So what's shocking is that despite results like this, just 2.8% of venture capital funding goes to female-founded teams. If you add in mixed gender teams, it goes up to about 11.5%. So for every dollar from venture capital, less than 12 cents goes to startups with a female founder. And let's think about this as an engineer. If you were choosing between two systems, two black boxes, and you knew that one was 2.5 more efficient than the other, and helped you achieve your goals a year earlier, which one would you choose? It wouldn't even be a question, right? And I know I'm simplifying things a lot here, but it still surprises me that more investors aren't taking this data seriously. And so that's what we're doing. We're backing the more efficient, faster system. And I think it's a common misconception that focusing on investing in diverse teams is some sort of charity. It's an important distinction to make. We aren't funding these businesses because no one else will. In fact, we're usually coming in with several other investors. And it's unfair to the founders to signal that they need extra help because they're women. That's not the case at all. The fact is, startups are really hard for everyone. I think you'd be hard pressed to meet any early stage founder who couldn't use an extra hand.
Excellent. And what is your current role at Hearst Lab?
So, this question, I should really go back to our mission, which is to help close the funding gap by gender and bring visibility and opportunity to women at Hearst and in the lab. And my role is to make that happen. So, a big part of what I focus on is startups, both evaluating prospective startups for investment. So, think of the TV show Shark Tank, but much, much less dramatic. And then also in supporting our portfolio companies, the companies that we've already invested in. So, for portfolio companies, I'm essentially a resourceful problem solver. What's needed is very, very different startup by startup and day by day. So, I work directly with the founders to identify what they need and either help them directly, drawing, on my experience as a former founder and now having worked across dozens of startups, or connecting them to our broader network. And we're really lucky that we have this big company to tap on. And this includes a core group who we call our Hearst Lab Scouts. And this is a group of about 90 women executives who work full time at Hearst and then donate some of their time to help our startups. And these women are experts in sales, product, marketing, you name it. And what we see is that by being mission driven, people at Hearst are really motivated to help our startups. They're incredibly generous with their time and their networks, which is so impactful for the startups. And the last piece of my role is managing our incredibly talented portfolio support team, a group that help the startup teams across DevOps engineering, UX design, business development, and hiring.
Great. How do you think your background in engineering has helped you in this role?
It's a good question because I don't think it's necessarily obvious from the outside, but I think my background in engineering has actually helped me in a lot of different ways. I'm a strong believer that a background in engineering helps in just about any role, in fact. Engineers are great problem solvers. We're great at systematically evaluating systems and processes, thinking creatively about how to scale, weighing risks. And I think most jobs can be broken down into those components. We live in this world where everything around us is increasingly data-driven. So areas like marketing, investment, areas you don't think of as engineering can now be approached with an engineering mindset. So the ability to look at a system and parse out what metrics are important and how to measure them goes a really long way. And I use that same approach to my job every single day. But more specifically, I draw on my experience as a former founder and running tech teams all the time. So even though our startups are in lots of different industries, they face pretty similar challenges and at the end of the day have pretty similar goals. And many of those are ones that I've run into in my previous roles. I even get to use my data science muscles from time to time. So the teams, when we invest, are 3 to 4 people, and they don't usually have a data scientist on board. So I'll often act as their sort of data scientist slash data strategist and work directly with the founders and then the engineer on our staff to help them develop initial machine learning models for their businesses. And then I think the last piece is really being able to do diligence on the prospective startups. So, understanding the technical side of the businesses that we're evaluating and really gauging what's feasible.
For many women, the key to success is mentorship. Now, finding a mentor can be valuable for every professional woman, especially those working in male-dominated industries. So, Lisa, did you have one mentor?
First, I think it's important to acknowledge that mentors are great for everyone, both women and men. And I think there are certain times where it's important to have a mentor of the same gender, But generally, I found that having both men and women as mentors is really beneficial. So as both an undergraduate and a graduate researcher, I had two advisors, different set each time, but both times I had one man and one woman. And even now, the founders of Hearst Lab are one man, one woman. And I think this balance works really well. It's something that I haven't necessarily done intentionally, but now reflecting back, it actually makes me go back to our investment thesis. I mentioned before that having this diversity of perspectives on a leadership team makes a better business. I think the same thing is true here. Having a diversity of perspectives on you and your career path is really important.
How does one go about finding a mentor, and especially now with everyone working remotely?
What I've seen from Hearst Lab working with our founders is that the best mentors are those that are just one step ahead of you, or even the people around you, your peers. So we'll see that one of our startups who's at the seed stage, they're really interested in connecting with founders that just closed their Series A. They were very recently in their shoes. So for someone looking for a mentor, I think it's important to remember that your mentor doesn't need to be the CEO of a Fortune 500 company. And in fact, if you get someone who's so far away from where you are in your career, it's probably been so long that they were in your shoes and facing the challenges that you're facing, that they're not going to be as helpful as someone who just graduated from your level. I think the other thing to remember is that it's good to have mentors for different purposes. It's a lot to expect one person to be sort of your go-to for everything. So if you're thinking about totally changing careers, that might be a different person that you want to approach as opposed to someone that you want to talk to about how to navigate, you know, negotiating for a raise. After you've figured out the purpose of your mentor, I think it's good to think through who you already know. It could be a colleague that you admire, a peer, a friend, your sibling. I think we don't often enough think about our existing networks and people that might be able to fill those roles. And in that case, I think there's actually a lot of advantages to being remote. We can actually be much more efficient in meeting with these type of people, these potential mentors. It's very easy to reconnect. We're all very connected these days and able to do, you know, a quick 15-minute call. There's also this very interesting sort of equalizing effect that we have. So for people that don't necessarily live in a big city, they now have the exact same access of those who do live in major cities. So it's not all bad, I think, with being remote and finding great mentors.
Speaking of remote work, experts are warning that the gains made in past decade to recruit more women in STEM may be lost due to the work from home dynamic caused by this pandemic, with, you know, women tending to have more caregiving responsibilities. What are your thoughts on this?
My thoughts are that this is a real risk and that it could be devastating. And not just to women in STEM, but to any company or industry that relies on people who are caregivers. In other words, everyone, right? You know, and I see three main groups that need to be on board to solve this caregiving crisis. And this really is a crisis. So first is government leaders. There are people like Melinda Gates who are advocating for a caregiving czar in the next administration to focus exactly on this. I think the second group are companies. We need executives to see that doing nothing isn't an option and that ignoring this problem is actually affecting their bottom line. In fact, we have one very successful startup in Hearst Lab that solves this kind of challenge for employers in a really clever way. So the company is called Wellthy, Wellthy, and their platform matches employees with a care coordinator to help those who have a loved one with either a long-term or chronic illness. So for the employee, they have less stress and they're able to offload tasks like navigating medical bills. So they can instead spend that time with their loved one. And for the employer, they get their employee back. They see increased productivity, retention, reduced time away from work. This is actually a benefit that everybody at Hearst has, and it's been a huge success for our company. And, you know, this really brings me to the third group, which is founders. People innovate in really difficult times. we're already starting to see more and more startups in caregiving. And I think that the most impactful solutions will come from startups like these. But we have to have the support of government and the demand from corporations for these startups to be successful.
When you were at MIT, you mentored undergraduates and taught high school junior girls about mechanical engineering. What would you say today to the next generation of girls in school and colleges who may be considering engineering as a career choice?
I would say, do it. You know, engineering prepares you to succeed in almost any field. So including technology more broadly, which even beyond engineering, product really builds nicely on top of that. But even in fields like law and medicine and business, and in fact, many of our founders in Hearst Lab have engineering backgrounds, and they're resourceful, resilient, creative problem solvers. Those very same qualities that make you a great engineer also make you a great entrepreneur. And I think that translates to other roles as well. For this next generation, something else that I think is so important to understand is the impact that they'll have on products and companies that are built. We really need diverse teams working on technical problems. You've probably seen some of the headlines around facial recognition algorithms that don't perform as well on dark-skinned people, or algorithms that are designed to surface top resumes that they find out are biased against women's schools and adjectives around women. We have to make sure that this isn't happening, and the best way to do that is to get a diverse group around the table when they're making it. So for women considering engineering, we need you. You're such an important part of the future.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Lisa. And congratulations again for winning the Kate Gleason Award.
Thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure.
If you liked this episode, subscribe to ASME TechCast on your favorite podcast app.